The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Most job boards overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. Not smart, but ZipRecruiter finds the right people for you and actively invites them to apply, so you get qualified candidates fast. Now that's smart. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome in. Happy Monday to you. It's the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. My name is Field Yates with my friend, my best friend, Matthew Berry. Good morning.
What up?
And Star Fania Bell, good morning to you.
Good morning,
Phil. We went purple today, Stefania.
We are. We got the memo. Apparently, the one in the middle did not.
Matthew, for the first time in his life, is not
Although
fashion forward.
I do have to say, you were wearing a very nice suit on Sunday, and a little bird told me that, you know, my best friend, Beth Berry, picked it out for you. I thought it was snazzy.
This is true. My wife bought me a new suit over the weekend, wore it on Sunday. There's a very good chance, by the way, that I did get the memo and I just didn't read it, which would also be par for the course.
We can vouch for that.
Lots to get to on today's show. Thanks to all of us, those of you that are watching us live on Twitter right now. Follow at Fantasy Focus for more information about how you can see the stream every single day. Of course, we'll be going through every single game recap, including Thursday night's game. So, Daniel, let's get right into it.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
So Thursday night's game was between the Bengals and the Ravens, and the lead storyline after the Bengals won this game pretty convincingly was unfortunately an injury. Stefania, what do we know about Joe Mixon, who left the game but actually finished the game for the Bengals as well?
Right. You saw him go in and out a couple of times to have his knee looked at. So it was a little surprising when we found out that he was then going to undergo a procedure. He had the procedure on Saturday. It was arthroscopic surgery to remove a, according to Adam Schefter, quote, particle that had become dislodged. So that
sounds painful.
By the way, I've been described as that more than once. In my life.
I know. If only there were a procedure to be able to remove you.
People have tried.
But in any event,
I've escaped medical science so far.
The good news is the procedure itself, pretty quick. You know, a lot of times when you hear about a cleanup, this is what they're talking about. They go in, they remove the particle that's potentially getting in the way, causing irritation to the joint. The recovery should be fairly straightforward. I would expect him to miss a couple of weeks at least, you know, maybe on the order of 2 to 4. But I think there is a potential question, depending what that particle is in terms of where did it break off from, as to whether this knee continues to be a problem during the rest of the season or not.
Not a lot of mystery as to who would step up in his absence, Matthew. It's Giovanni Bernard. What kind of value does he carry until Joe Mixon returns?
I think he's a top 20 running back, obviously. You know, he is somebody that has had success when he has had the amount of work that he will get with Joe Mixon out. 11 different games in his career with 15 or more carries, averages 4.4 yards per carry, 112 total yards per game, over 18 fantasy points per game. Giovanni Bernard is somebody that I would assume is featured prominently in your waiver wire column, Field.
He will indeed be the lead of the waiver wire column. He, of course, is a player that has been a big part of the Bengals offense since being drafted by them. Mark Walton also figures to be in the mix for them in the backfield. He's a rookie out of Miami.
But let's just say this. The Cincinnati Bengals, and you guys know what they do to you, but so far, kind of buying in.
I mean,
you guys know that I'm nervous about the Bengals because of their track record with me.
The
minute you buy in, you know exactly what they do to you. But the fact is, the bottom line is this.
You're trying so hard. I love it.
The Bengals look good.
The Bengals
and
they
through two games, Bill Lazor's offense looks really impressive.
They do. And part of that is because they're getting contributions from young wide receivers. And not really John Ross, but
no.
Tyler Boyd, who had six catches in this game. Is there a second wide receiver spot in this offense? Like, can a number two wide receiver, if one clearly establishes himself as that, Matthew, be fantasy relevant week to week?
I believe there's that potential. I mean, certainly it's an offense that's being very efficient that and with the switch from Joe Mixon to Giovanni Bernard, you figure maybe they go a little bit more pass heavy as well in this game. Obviously, Boyd, 6 for 91, a touchdown on 9 targets. Now, Andy Dalton's not going to throw 4 touchdowns in every game, but he's run just one fewer route this year than A.J. Green. I mean, he's been targeted on 50% of his routes this year. I mean, Tyler Boyd is somebody that they liked a lot last year, and we had him pegged last year as sort of a rookie breakout, never really materialized. The whole Bengals offense sort of got stuck in the mud. They changed coordinators in the middle of the season, and it seemed to get better towards the end of the season. But this is the first full year that Bill Lazor's been in charge of this offense, and I do think there's the potential for a second-year breakout, a post-hype sleeper, if you will, on Tyler Boyd.
If you're looking around for quarterback options in Week 3, and you start to look at some of the matchups that are taking place, and maybe, well, not after yesterday, you're that scared of Philadelphia's secondary, but after Week 1 you might have been, you're thinking to yourself, do I fade Andrew Luck, for example? Perhaps you're not convinced on a starting quarterback like Matt Ryan against the New Orleans defense that for much of last year was dominant. The point is this, Andy Dalton may have played himself into QB streamer territory. Dalton threw 4 touchdown passes and has just been effective over his past 16 games. Got 31 touchdown passes. That's third most in the NFL in that time. For the Baltimore Ravens, John Brown has 2 games and 2 touchdowns. Matthew, you like this player coming into the season. He has big play potential, but is the volume going to be enough for this to keep up?
I believe it will be. He now has 40 receiving yards, a touchdown, and a 20-yard catch in both games this season. There's not a single player in football that did that in Weeks 1 of 2 last season. His 10 targets match Michael Crabtree. He leads the Ravens with 3 red zone targets this year. The usage that we saw in the preseason field has continued into the season for John Brown. We've seen 1 good game from Joe Flacco. We've seen 1 bad game. It's been a little weird because the first game obviously was against the Bills where they blew them out in the first half. And then in the second game, the Bengals just took it to them. So I don't know that we've really seen what the Ravens offense is going to look like, you know, on a week-to-week basis. It's been 2 sort of weird game scripts, if you will, and it was a short week, obviously, as well. But there's no question about it. Flacco's looking for him. He's not scared to take shots deep. We know that from out his career. He's not scared to take shots deep, and he's taking shots deep with John Brown for whatever it's worth, and I've mentioned this before, but, you know, Peter King, our friend Peter King, does a great job there over at NBC, and I was talking to him. Him and I always have a tradition before the season where we talk and we do a little football fantasy sleeper, strategy talk, and we trade a couple of guys back and forth. And Peter King just told me, whatever you do, get John Brown on every team you can. Right. So for whatever it's worth, I mean, he was somebody that I've been talking up throughout, and I said, I agree with you. I love me some John Brown. And so far through 2 seasons, we talked about him last week on the waiver wire segment. Talk about him again this week as well. Needs to be rostered in 100% of leagues. I believe he is. He needs to be rostered in 100% of leagues.
Alex Collins also got vultured in this game. Stefania, a lot of frustration there for those who roster Alex Collins and had RB2 expectations for him in 2018.
I can vouch to those who had Buck Allen and had him on the bench as potentially also being frustrated because you weren't necessarily expecting that kind of performance from him. Look, I think Alex Collins, when you watch him run, you know, you see some of these amazing moves. He's very shifty. He's got the great footwork. But then other times he puts up this very disappointing stat line. And I'm not sure that I'm able to gauge out of 2 games this year what I think about the potential of Alex Collins going forward. I'm not ready to give up on him yet.
I think what it is to me, it caps his ceiling. I think there's still a floor there, Field. He's a very good running back behind a better offensive line. We do think the Ravens' offense has improved from last year. So far through 2 games, it appears that's the case. But the Buck Allen thing is legitimate. In goal-to-go situation so far this year, Alex Collins, 6 snaps, 2 touches, and he has a score. Buck Allen, 5 snaps, 2 touches, 2 touchdowns. Last season, despite the fact Buck Allen played 1 more game than Alex Collins, but in the red zone, he outsnapped Alex Collins 74-46. Alex Collins, for as great as he is, fumbles have been a bugaboo. I just dropped a bugaboo.
Well done.
It has been a bugaboo in his career, not just in the pros, but in college as well. That's been one of the few knocks on his game. And so you have to wonder if John Harbaugh sort of feels like, you know what? I'm a little more trustworthy of Buck Allen when we get in close. I think it caps his ceiling.
I can agree that it does cap his ceiling, like prevents from being a top 12 running back. I also think he'll get more usage at the goal line going forward. The Vikings did not lose on Sunday, nor did the Packers. They also played each other. It was a tie. Second straight week we've had a tie in the NFL. Stefania, if I did not know he was injured, I would not have surmised that Aaron Rodgers was hurt going into this game.
Well, you certainly wouldn't by the end productivity. I think, to be fair, for those of us who are watching him closely, there are things that you see. I mean, a couple times he just looked really off balance. He can't put full weight on that leg. If you saw the heavy brace that he was wearing, you may remember on Sunday, I said, you can't brace for this. Well, you can't brace to take away the pain. But he's wearing a brace that offloads that area of the knee where he has the bone bruise and also keeps his knee slightly flexed. You notice he can't straighten it all the way. So it does change how he's able to move and how he's able to step through, if you will, on that leg. But he proved what we expected that he might be able to do, which is play a different style of game and be very, very effective at it. And, you know, barring something else happening, I think you can expect that kind of performance going forward. He is just Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to make a note of this. Aaron Rodgers is good. I just want to just heads up, hashtag analysis. Aaron Rodgers.
The only thing I would say
is good.
His offensive line stepped up for him yesterday. Yeah. He was very well protected. And when he did go down a couple of times, if you saw the look on his face, that weight on the knee, those are the concerns. To assume that he's fully healthy would be a misconception. He can play just as effectively as long as he's protected.
81%. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to tag onto that and just say 81% of his pass attempts came out of the shotgun. We expected that coming to the game, that it would be very hot, shotgun heavy, and it worked out for it. And this is something that Tim Hasselbeck talked about on Fantasy Football Now in the morning. And just in some ways, because he can't go off script as much, in some ways that sort of helps him. And look, who are any of us to criticize or second guess the way Aaron Rodgers plays the quarterback position? But the fact of the matter is that he is, and ding, there we go. Thank you. Aaron Rodgers walks on water.
As Mike Zimmer so eloquently said last week, we also asked whether or not the Packers could sustain three fantasy-relevant wide receivers. I'm not sure we got a perfect answer. Geronimo Allison, their third wideout, had six catches for 64 yards. That right there is a day you'd totally take out of a third wide receiver against perhaps the best secondary not called the Jacksonville Jaguars. That being said, Randall Cobb had four catches for 30 yards. So maybe the question is this. Each week, are we going to be choosing between Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison, all things being equal?
I think this is a weird game to sort of base it on. I don't know that we have enough information because, by the way, Jimmy Graham, look, I liked Randall Cobb a lot coming into this game. I was wrong, obviously. Didn't end up working out. But a lot of the routes that I thought, or a lot of the passes in the middle of the field that I thought would be open for Randall Cobb ended up going to Jimmy Graham, 6 for 95 on 8 targets. Graham was terrific. He also had a 12-yard touchdown that got called back because of a holding call. Again, you sort of know how I feel about the tight end in Aaron Rodgers' system, but given the fact that he's going to be in the shotgun, that his mobility is going to be limited, he's probably going to be keeping it a little bit closer in terms for him, in terms of the average depth of target. I think this actually bodes well for Jimmy Graham. So I do believe the Packers offense can sustain three fantasy-relevant pass catchers, but I don't know it's three wide receivers. The other thing that to note here is they couldn't run the ball field. That's part of the other problem. The only way they could move the ball is through the air.
Jamal Williams continues to be ineffective as a runner. He was gobbled up by a really good Minnesota defensive front, but the wrench in the plans for those that figured that Jamal Williams has better days ahead because of inferior opponents ahead is that Aaron Jones returned in week three. Aaron Jones has been suspended for the first two games, and we'll be on the waiver wire column tomorrow. Matthew, you do believe he's the clear-cut running back you'd like to roster out of this backfield.
I talked about it all in the preseason. I talked him up. I felt like every hour of the fantasy football marathon talking up Aaron Jones because I kept getting asked for sleepers. And I got asked, who could this year's Alvin Kamara be? And I gave the examples. I don't know that anyone's going to be Alvin Kamara because he had a record-breaking year last year, a truly historic season. But I thought one guy that had a chance of being that person or coming close to it was Aaron Jones, who at this time last year or 2 years, you know, in the preseason last year, Alvin Kamara was the third running back on a talented offense, but third on the depth chart. But ultimately his talent won out. And here's Aaron Jones coming into the season, third on the depth chart, but a talented running back in a very high scoring offense. So give me Aaron Jones. He's by far the most talented running back talent-wise. It's just whether they trust him in pass protection. We will find that out. But I'm with you, Field. If there's some league out there somehow that Aaron Jones is still available, he needs to be rostered in 100% of leagues because his upside is that huge.
Stefania, just a quick note on Dalvin Cook. We would have led with this if we thought it more significant, but he did briefly leave this game.
Right. And it was late in the game. They went to overtime, obviously, the tie with a hamstring issue. I would just keep an eye on that. Not uncommon for guys coming off ACL reconstruction to suffer a soft tissue injury like this. So just watch his practice through the week.
I just tweeted this a little while ago at Field Yates on Twitter. Please follow me. But I'm going to make the same joke, and it'll probably be just as effective. Patrick Mahomes just threw another touchdown pass. Literally right now. He had six yesterday. Six for the Kansas City Chiefs. And it felt like all of them came in the first half. Patrick Mahomes. Can the continue? We asked, could he possibly keep it up after week one? Maybe this sounds silly to ask. Maybe people who disagree with this question are just haters of us. But Matthew, can this, like, are you in now on Patrick Mahomes being a legit top five quarterback play this season, every single week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I wasn't before. I mean, look, what I would say is this. I was high on Patrick Mahomes coming into the season. I wasn't high enough.
That's the question, right?
Yeah. I wasn't high enough. If we redrafted today, how many quarterbacks are you drafting for the rest of the season ahead of Patrick Mahomes? I can think
Aaron
of Rogers, two.
Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and I think Cam Newton.
Boy, I don't know. That's a close one for me. I think I would go with Mahomes over Cam.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, close, though. The point is that it's very, very close. And Mahomes has been unbelievable.
I mean, right. Given the weapons that Mahomes has, given the offensive line issues of Carolina, Olsen out for, you know, who knows how
long.
Talking
about Cam later, didn't seem to impact him too much yesterday from a fantasy standpoint.
Yes,
but still.
He was great and yet didn't have as many fantasy points as Patrick Mahomes.
I get it.
Patrick Mahomes is in a perfect situation. It's a fantasy friendly offense with a crappy defense. He's got a cannon for an arm and he's surrounded by unbelievable talent. I was down on Sammy Watkins coming into the season.
Yeah.
In terms of fantasy relevancy, and he had a huge game in this one, 6 for 107 targets. I don't know that I buy that production going forward, that consistency. I think one of the things I said about Watkins coming into the year, I said, Watkins is going to have four huge games this year. You just don't know when it's coming. And that would be my take here is that there's so many weapons there. You know Tyreek Hill's going to get his. You know Kelce and Hunt are going to get theirs. I just don't know that there's going to be enough consistency there. But Patrick Mahomes, remember.
Ooh, by the way, plays San Francisco next week.
I mean, he's going to be he'll be my number three quarterback. He might be my number two. I haven't done my rankings yet for week three, but Patrick Mahomes, I mean, it is a perfect storm. I don't think any of this is a fluke. I don't know that he throws six touchdowns every week.
He'll throw them next week.
But he is 100% the legit real deal. I can't imagine trading Patrick Mahomes. I mean, there'll be some people saying, oh, sell high. I cannot imagine. What could somebody give you?
Well,
that you
someone tweeted at me a little while ago, should I trade Patrick Mahomes for Antonio Brown? My answer in that case would be yes, because there's quarterback depth. He happens to have Deshaun Watson as his next quarterback up. But in terms of a quarterback for quarterback trade, it's hard to envision too many involving Patrick Mahomes. James Conner for the Pittsburgh Steelers filled in once again. We had him as a starting running back play this week. I had him inside my top 10. He ends up making good on this as he goes for 19.5 fantasy points. But did you guys feel differently about James Conner after what you saw yesterday, given he had just 17 rushing yards and 8 carries?
No, I think the Chiefs basically made a concerted effort to try to stop him.
I don't remember. By scoring 28 points in the first quarter?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, right. I mean,
literally,
so
21 points. That's what it was.
That's the other thing I was going to get to is that they were down big in this game and down big quickly. So they had to immediately abandon the run and go to just throwing, which is one of the reasons why we were all so high on Ben. I think I had Ben as QB3. I think you guys did as well. I know he was high up for all of us in the rankings. So this was a perfect storm because it's basically, it's two good offenses with two bad defenses.
Yep.
So no, I don't have any concerns on James Conner as long as Le'Veon Bell remains out.
And he passes the eye test. I mean, he's just really, really efficient, both catching the ball and running.
How about this?
He's one of four running backs in the NFL with 100 receiving yards and 100 rushing yards this year. Can you name the other three? I tweeted this out at Matthew Berry TMR
and 100 rushing yards so far
this
year.
Please follow me, and if you have to unfollow Field Yates to follow me, I'm okay with that. I'll live with
that. We've got 100 receiving yards, 100 rushing yards. We have got Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
We have Chris Thompson.
No.
No. Christian McCaffrey.
No.
Todd Gurley.
No.
All right. We're wasting time here. Moving along to
Matthew to find out the answer.
Yeah, Juju Smith-Schuster,
James Conner, Austin Eckler.
You're ruining
and Adrian Peterson.
Ruined your opportunity for more followers.
I'll live with it.
Juju Smith-Schuster had 13 catches for 121 yards and a touchdown. I don't know that anybody doubted him coming into the season as being a potential starter in your lineup as a flex spot, but maybe Juju Smith-Schuster should be a top 15 play going the rest of the way.
I agree. Certainly when they're at home, when Ben is at home, touchdown in three of his last four games, at least 114 receiving yards in four of his last five games dating back, to last year, Juju Smith-Schuster has been a top 10 fantasy wide receiver from, like, I think week 15. Kyle, what was it from week 15 on from last year? Thank you, Thirsty Kyle. From week 15 on through week two, like, top 10 fantasy wide receiver. Not Antonio Brown, but not as far as you would think. Not as far off as you might think. To me, he's a no-brainer every week start. He's a clearly top 20 guy.
Because of the 49ers win yesterday, Daniel will not only buy Stefania lunch every Thursday for the rest of the season.
I love it.
He will pay her mortgage through the end of the year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, were you not aware of that?
No, I had no idea.
That's how I make bets.
Yeah, that's how Stefania makes bets. That's fair. Good job, Stefania.
Stefania's team does emerge victorious. A wild game here in San Francisco. Ugh. Stefania, let's get to the running backs in San Francisco, though, because we all thought going into the season it was going to be a split. On Sunday, it was a split, but we did see the one player who has the big play ability out of that backfield.
And that's Matt Breida. And I think we were alerted to this before last season, that the potential was there. It just never really shook out in terms of their whole offense. You started to see some spark late in the season. Then, of course, he was injured in the preseason this year. But I think this is what Kyle Shanahan wants from Matt Breida, and they expected him to step up with the loss of Jerick McKinnon. I think that Alfred Morris didn't look great running the ball yesterday. I do think that it's true what we heard, that there will be different plans depending on who the opponent is in a given week, that it's not always going to be easy to identify who's going to get a lot of run in the game, but I think Matt Breida has a bigger upside.
Marquise Goodwin missed this game, Stefania, and then his replacement, Dante Pettis, was quickly banged up as well. What do you know about Pettis, and who might be the next man up in that receiving group? Yeah, if Pettis just has to miss time.
That's a good question, because Dante Pettis went out with a knee injury, didn't return. He was targeted early, and I really think he would have been that strong flex play had he been healthy enough to stay in. I mean, the hope is that they'll get Goodwin back for this week. But I'm concerned about Pierre Garçon, because when he's left as that other target, he's the one that is going to be covered and get the most attention. Hasn't been super productive so far. It could be Trent Taylor. You know, there's a name to keep an eye out for. We thought George Kittle would be bigger as a pass catcher in this game than he was, but I think those are the two names that I'd be looking at.
They are also going to at least explore Josh Gordon, who will be available in a trade, as we know. By the time you're listening to this, we might have some resolution there.
Matt, I would say that Pierre Garçon is still going to be my highest-ranked 49ers wide receiver. I understand what you're saying,
you're
Stefania. Who are you ranking higher than him next week?
Marquise Goodwin, if he's healthy.
If he's healthy, we have to do rankings by tomorrow. If he's healthy,
I thought he would maybe had an opportunity to play. So, yeah, Marquise Goodwin.
Matthew Stafford was much better yesterday for the Lions, Matthew. He had 347 passing yards and three touchdowns. This is much more the player that we expected to see coming into this season. A reminder that I think in a lot of ways, week one will prove to be an aberration.
Sort of. He was box score better. But on the field wise, he still missed a lot of throws deep. A lot of production came in junk time in the second half, in the fourth quarter, frankly. He threw two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and a lot of his yardage came there as well when they were in desperate comeback mode. He had Marvin Jones. I mean, Secret Squirrel, you can chime in here. These are your Lions, but I felt like there were a number of times where he had Marvin Jones deep, or he had a couple of deep throws, and he just missed them, throws that he normally makes.
Yeah, there were three to Marvin Jones where he had just over his outstretched hands, he would have had a home run. Same with Kenny Golladay towards the end of the game. I mean, there were a number of passes where Matthew Stafford just looked off that could have led to big points. But you're right, box score-wise, it looks much better than he actually did NFL-wise with Matthew Stafford.
And the positive takeaway here, if you have Matthew Stafford on your roster, if he's your starting quarterback field, is that the Lions defense is potentially historically bad, Daniel Dopp. I mean, honestly, it's really just, it's a defense that, considering they brought in Matt Patricia, has completely underperformed. You have to admit this. And then Darius Slay, left this game, with a concussion as well. So that was a tough loss here.
Same defense that also had two bad penalties that took back a pick six and a punt return for a touchdown. Just saying.
Yeah.
We could be talking about them in a much different light today. The Lions have three good wide receivers, really good wide receivers. Golden Tate is sort of the tried and true, 7 catches for 109 yards. But Kenny Golladay, 6 for 89 and a touchdown. Has he leapfrogged Marvin Jones as the number two pass catcher you'd want in this offense?
Yes, for me.
It's close. Again, as we were just sort of talking about it, again, you know, woulda, coulda, shouldas, right? I would argue that some of those penalties, that's part of playing defense, is obviously is that discipline. Although sometimes the calls are a little bit like you're like head scratching on some of the calls just around the NFL. I will say about Marvin Jones is that he could have had a huge day on this particular day. As much as I love Kenny Golladay, look, I had Marvin Jones on my hate list coming into the season in terms of where he was being drafted, and Kenny Golladay was somebody that I talked up a lot in the preseason. I think we all sort of liked him as a potential sleeper this year. Stefania, I know you mentioned him as well in the preseason. So we all liked Golladay. I don't know that I'm ready to rank Golladay over Jones just yet, but I will say that, yes, because as we talk about Pittsburgh, as we talk about Kansas City, as we talk about, candidly, San Francisco, I think there's a couple of situations here, and Detroit's one of them, where they have an offense that can't run the ball and they can't play defense, so they're only going to be able to move the ball through the air. And so, I mean, obviously Pittsburgh and Kansas City can run the ball, but San Francisco too, actually, as well. But bad defense, good pass catchers, good quarterback, so Stafford should continue to put up some junk fantasy points. I do think it can support three fantasy-relevant wide receivers. Kenny Golladay is clearly a flex with upside going forward, and there's a very good chance he overtakes Marvin Jones sooner rather than later, but not for me just yet.
Introducing the all-new 2019 Acura RDX. It's everything we ever imagined and then some, featuring a turbocharged 272-horsepower VTEC engine with available super-handling all-wheel drive and a quick-shifting 10-speed transmission. The RDX delivers a whole new level of precision-crafted performance. With available 16-speaker ELS Studio 3D Premium Audio, Apple CarPlay, and our innovative True Touchpad interface with absolute positioning, and Acura Car Wash, Acura Watch Advanced Safety and Driver Assistance Technology, the RDX keeps you connected and in control. Entirely reimagined from the ground up and inside out, the RDX is highlighted by sharp, sculpted lines and a low, wide stance that hints at the driving experience to be had behind the wheel. Equipped with a standard ultra-wide panoramic roof and available 16-way sport seats, the RDX is redefining the SUV. Visit Acura.com/RDX to learn more and build yours today. And for the second week in a row, Michael Thomas is everything we ever imagined. Brought to you by Acura. Michael Thomas, my question to you is this. Who now has more catches through two games than any player through the first 2 weeks in NFL history? If you had your choice of Michael Thomas or any other wide receiver for the rest of the season, which would you take?
I'm still taking Antonio Brown. As great as Michael Thomas is, I'm still taking Antonio Brown over him. I had Michael Thomas coming into the season. I had Michael Thomas ranked as my number three wide receiver. I had him over Julio. I had him over Beckham. And I think people, I sort of got eyebrows raised at that one. Got people questioning. I saw some people have him at 6 or 7. And I talked all preseason about, look, the Saints are going to have positive touchdown regression. And that's what is happening right here between Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. The nice thing about the Saints field and Stefania is that it feels like a team that for years we were just like, they sort of had all these pieces. No, that's right. It's Drew Brees. It's Alvin Kamara. It's Michael Thomas. Bingo, bingo. And you're done.
Correct. I feel the exact same way about the Saints with Ted Ginn sort of floating there as the flex consideration play. The Browns, though, might be a little bit more difficult to figure out. And there is a huge story that is brewing in Cleveland as Josh Gordon is likely to be traded at some point today. We knew, the Browns
that
actually
was,
announced.
By the way, that was a sound effect. I was trying to figure out a brewing sound effect, like, you know, coffee brewing. And it sounded more like a lame
burr,
drum roll.
Like a burr.
Or a burr. Yeah. But like, how would, Secret Squirrel, what would brewing coffee sound like?
When coffee brews, that is just creepy. Rips, right?
Yeah, that's weird. Not cool, Keith. You try.
You can't make fun of me when you made a kitty purring sound as a coffee brew.
It was bubbling. It was
no, like, that's like a little.
What do you? Stefania's got something. What do you got?
It's percolating.
Okay, go ahead. That's actually not bad.
That's a lot better than
that's
what
actually
ours
not bad.
You know what, Stefania? We don't care what it sounds like. All right, jeez.
Josh Gordon is likely to be traded, perhaps by the time you are listening to this podcast. We're not going to get too much into what Josh Gordon will mean for his potential new team, but for the wide receivers in Cleveland, what does this mean for them with Josh Gordon no longer a part of the mix? Jarvis Landry had this value that was established, and we knew it. But who's the next man up that has some intrigue here in fantasy
Antonio
football?
Callaway.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw glimpses of it in Hard Knocks. You know, we saw that there were some concerns about Antonio Callaway, but and remember the punishment was the one game where he had to play without
more.
A break, without it. But what you saw was the big play potential of Antonio Callaway, and the Browns obviously saw it too. And then we saw it on display yesterday: 3 catches for 81 yards and a touchdown. Look, I think this kid's pretty special talent, and I think you're going to see more of him now with Josh Gordon out the picture. Quite frankly.
I would assume he makes your waiver wire column this week, Field.
He does. Now, his day was somewhat salvaged by an absolutely perfect catch on a beautiful throw from Tyrod Taylor that if he doesn't make that play, we'll talk about him in a much different light. But he is on my waiver wire column. It's going to be one of those talent-based efforts. Trust the talent of a player that clearly has some special skills. He's got a lot of baggage as well, but there's a big opportunity.
And it's big play potential, I think. You know, Jarvis Landry is certainly the consistency guy on that team, but the big play upside comes with Callaway.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you're talking about, right, you know, he gets salvaged by that one play, the 51-yard touchdown throw and catch, but that's what he is. Like, he's a big play guy. Obviously, the person who's going to be moving the chains is going to be Jarvis Landry. I'm going to rank Jarvis Landry significantly ahead of Antonio Callaway, but we talk about fantasy relevance coming down to two things, talent and opportunity. He has talent. And now, because of the situation with Josh Gordon, he has opportunity coming out of into the NFL draft process, Field, and you can speak to this better than I can, but he was considered just on pure talent a first round NFL talent. There was off the field issues that had him dropping in the NFL draft, but talent wise, there's been no question about him.
Yeah, he certainly has been a guy that has checked a lot of the physical boxes. We'll see if he can keep it consistent on the field because the opportunity is ripe right now in Cleveland. Perhaps because Duke Johnson is basically a ghost in this offense. He's got 11 total touches through 2 games. This is a player that the Browns doubled down on this offseason. Despite drafting Nick Chubb and signing Carlos Hyde, they gave Duke Johnson a 3-year extension. Very difficult to see this usage for Duke Johnson. In a word, is he welcome to Dumpsville, Matthew?
In a 10-team non-keeper league, as long as Tyrod Taylor's the quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you there as well.
I just don't know when you would think about starting him. When you think about all the other pass-catching backs that are out there, the Theo Riddicks of the world, you'd rather have those guys.
Devontae Freeman missed his first game, but we think could be a multi-week absence for Atlanta. They win this game over the Panthers. Impressive showing from the Falcons. Do we think that Tevin Coleman, who did perform well yesterday for the Atlanta Falcons, his final numbers were 16 rushes, for 107 yards plus 4 catches for 18 yards. Understanding that the Devontae Freeman will be back at some point, maybe in the next month, we'll see. Is Tevin Coleman a sell high after this performance, Matthew?
I don't believe so, actually. I don't believe he is. For a few reasons. Number one is this is what he does. He has in the games in which Devontae Freeman sits, he averages 19.5 touches per game and 4.89 yards per carry, right? Averages over 14 fantasy points per game. Had a nice game here, obviously, with 16.5, 16 for 107, 4 for 18 on 4 targets. Now, you'll see some Ito Smith in there. But as Stefania has alluded to and talked about, I mean, before it came out that it was like going to be a multiple week injury, Stefania was talking about the fact that she was nervous about this.
Yeah, and I think not only am I nervous just in terms of the multi-week potential that he has to miss, which now is established, it's what is going to happen as the rest of the season goes on, which is why if I have Devontae Freeman on my roster, and I would definitely hang on to Tevin Coleman because I think there's more likelihood than less that he plays a significant role throughout the rest of the year.
I'm super nervous. I have him in one league. I have him in the War Room League. the three of us are all in, and you will see me trade him this week. He will be traded this week in that league.
Like Devontae Freeman traded this week.
I want out of the Devontae Freeman business.
I'm nervous about
his usage going forward. I don't know when he comes back, and I think he's going to be, to Stefania's point, in and out of the lineup. I still don't have 100% of confidence in the Falcons' red zone offense either.
Looked a lot better yesterday, though.
Four scores on
four trips, including two rushing touchdowns from Matt Ryan. Both first-round wide receivers caught touchdown passes in this game yesterday. DJ Moore had a 51-yarder for Carolina. And Calvin Ridley had four catches for 64 yards on five targets, including a score. Good to see him get more involved. It's worth noting, however, there are other players that still have a prominent role in this passing game. Austin Hooper, Mohamed Sanu. So I'm not quite there in terms of Ridley being a weekly starter. Maybe an interesting guy at the end of your bench.
Julio Jones goes five for 64 on nine targets. Just couldn't seem to connect with Julio, but that's not going to be the norm. This offense is still going to go through Julio Jones. I'm with you on, we agree on Ridley.
For the Carolina Panthers, it was the first game without Greg Olsen, and we saw the target distribution shake out in a particular way. Holy cow. Christian McCaffrey.
Yep. We thought that. 15 targets. I mean, this to me, still, 15's a lot.
Yeah.
It is, but we thought the combination of the injuries for Atlanta in the middle of the field and the absence of Olsen really set up for a nice McCaffrey game. I don't know that he gets that many touches every time going forward, but I thought it was terrific.
He might. I mean, you guys know I love Christian McCaffrey. I have him in almost every league. I'm all about the CMC.
Yep, CMC was great yesterday. Devin Funchess also had seven catches on nine targets for 77 yards. Chris Mortensen said Jarius Wright could be a fantasy long shot yesterday.
Yeah, nice call by Mort here.
5 for 62 with a touchdown on seven targets. Maybe a deep league ad. Remember, he came over from Minnesota where he was familiar with the system. Scott and North Turner, now they are orchestrating the Carolina offense.
By the way, shout out to Cam Newton. We ESPN Fantasy published my my quarterback rankings. I had Cam Newton at 2 for the week, and I got all sorts of grief about Cam Newton on the Twitter, which is weird because usually people are really positive and polite there. But for some reason, this one particular time, people were really angry and negative about Cam Newton at 2, and they were, you know, asking about behind that offensive line, and he always struggles against Atlanta, and blah 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 blah. Anyway, 335 yards, three touchdowns, 5 for 42 rushing, 27.6 fantasy points. I feel like that's good. Is that good, Field?
That is pretty darn
good.
Good.
All right, good.
Matthew
I'm
Berry.
Just making sure. Fantastic.
Not quite Eric Ebron level, but it was pretty good from Cam Newton. The Colts get their first.
Can
win
I take this section?
Season.
Can I take this off?
Yeah, do us a favor. Go Vontae Davis it right now.
I will
have this for the rest of the show.
Would love that.
Eric Ebron scored for the second time in as many weeks. Stefania, is it possible that we wrote off Eric Ebron too early? Yeah,
I know.
Five years into his career?
I went to camp, and I think when I came back, I told you how much Jack Doyle was actually talking about how great Eric Ebron's hands were. I felt like saying, have you watched him play? Cause that's not what I've seen.
Yeah.
But the Colts saw something in him.
His hands are great at what? Like giving you massages? Like what's going on over there? Like how is his hands great?
He said he creates matchup nightmares. They clearly were excited about him. But I told you what I saw in practice, drop after drop after drop with the occasional super big play. So I still think. Consistency has the potential to be a problem for Ebron. I still believe that Jack Doyle is his most trusted target, although we haven't seen it yet. I think Eric Ebron has upside for sure in this offense, but I worry about the consistency.
This is my worst nightmare. I will be completely honest. This is my worst nightmare. My Redskins completely laid an egg. They were awful. They were brutal. This is an awful loss for the team. At home against a Colts team that they were favored against. They should have won this one. And then to lose at the hands of Eric Ebron, who's one of my least favorite players in the NFL, who I just can't stand. Secret Squirrel, in troubled times, I turn to you. How do you handle watching a team that you have such high hopes for just completely get embarrassed at home on a national television game? I mean, it was national, you know, for those that have, you know, red zone or whatever.
I'm thinking about writing the Indianapolis Colts and seeing if they will trade Matt Patricia for Eric Ebron.
Yeah, wow.
That's how bad it is right now.
How do I deal with this? How do I deal with the pain? Because it hurts so much. It's cold.
It's hard, buddy.
I have a suggestion for you, Daniel, or Matthew, or anybody.
Will somebody hold me?
9 minutes ago.
Yeah.
9 minutes ago. Antonio Brown. Yeah, that Antonio Brown.
I've heard of him, yep.
Oh, boy.
quote tweeted a tweet that used to be from Ryan Scarpino,
who according to his own,
I do
not know who that is.
According to his own bio, he did public relations for the Steelers from 2010 to 2017.
It's okay.
The quote tweet.
I'm listening, Field.
From Antonio Brown was, trade me, let's find out. Because the original tweet was, AB needs to thank his lucky stars because he was drafted by a team that had Ben, and Ben got paid. You know darn well he wouldn't put up those numbers for other teams. AB says, trade me, let's find out. So perhaps, trade him.
Provocateur.
Yeah.
Anthony.
I don't,
Antonio Brown.
I don't believe that happens.
I'm guessing no as well. I will just merely say, and we can talk about this later, there's some weird vibes right now around Antonio Brown and the Steelers. Let's get back on track to the Colts, Stefania, and Marlon Mack. What do we see from him yesterday and his health going forward?
Well, we saw that he had 10 carries for 34 yards, so nothing that really blew you away, caught a pass as well. But this was his introduction into playing football since the first week of the preseason when he actually suffered that hamstring injury. I don't think there was no re-injury. I think his volume was controlled, and I think that was the plan. You guys have talked about this. This is going to be the concern in Indy, is that they're going to divvy up the workload, and I don't know that you're going to feel good about starting any one of these three week to week.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think there are just certain running back situations that you have to avoid at all costs. Matthew, though, with a nice call at Nyheim Hines, is his long shot for fantasy. Not a ton of total production, but he did find the end zone. And for long shots, that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, and Hines, and it's weird, in a game in which he only caught one target, I feel like he will have a role in the passing game, even though he didn't really in this one. Obviously, week one, I believe he had seven targets, or he caught seven balls in week one. So just real quickly, Secret Squirrel was hugging me and just giving me really warm and a loving embrace, and I felt supported there. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
The thing about Ebron is I'm not ready to buy in yet, but he has caught a touchdown in four of his last five games, and I do think he's going to be more of a drain on Jack Doyle than I initially thought. I think I was wrong on that. I'm concerned about Doyle, who has under 50 receiving yards in six of his last seven games. He's got just two touchdowns in the last 10 games. Obviously, Andrew Luck wasn't his quarterback for a lot of that, but still, I'm slightly nervous on Jack Doyle, who might be more of a tight end too than the starter that we thought he was.
The Redskins might also have a running back situation going on because Adrian Peterson was really ineffective yesterday. We talked about how game script was going to help to dictate whether or not AD could be an effective player. I thought this game would not be close. I thought it would be Washington with the big lead. I mean, is it even close who has the most value in this backfield? Chris Thompson by far.
Obviously, Chris Thompson, their leading receiver, 13 for 92 on 14 targets. As their wide receivers are struggling, and this was just a bad game. And so they got poor protection up front. Alex Smith was under pressure all day. He had to dump it off to Chris Thompson quite a bit. Their receivers weren't getting separation. So, but I don't know how much that changes going forward as the season gets harder. I mean, if you can't handle the Colts rush, you know, and by the way, they had some young players that stepped up, and you know, I didn't want to just sit here and dog on the Colts. It's a nice win for Indy. Like, credit where credit is due. They came in and they whipped Washington up front. But I think that's going to be a problem all year long. So as long as Chris Thompson is healthy, he's going to continue to be in that check down role. And we're sort of seeing this around the NFL as running back depth around the league field sort of gets blown up. And as we talk about some of these running backs that we thought had secure roles, we're seeing the Theo Riddicks and the Austin Ecklers and the Chris Thompsons and these, you know, these passing down backs having legit Philip Lindsay in Denver, seeing these guys have legit low-end RB2, high-end flex numbers. Chris Thompson continues to be a star. I can't imagine you starting or having rostered any pass catcher on the Redskins other than Jordan Reed.
I am with you as well on that, Matthew. It is very difficult to imagine Adrian Peterson, by the way, being a weekly top 20 running back play, as you sort of implied there.
Especially when you think about next week when they play the Packers, who are just going to light them up.
The Jaguars took care of business in a very impressive, resounding fashion against the Patriots, 31-20. For the Patriots, we did see the first of Sony Michel. Your overall takeaways from this backfield and from the utilization of what we saw from Michel on Sunday, Stefania?
Well, it was nice to see Sony Michel take the field. I don't think I have a huge impression of him from what we saw. You know, it was a first opportunity for him. They got Rex Burkhead out there a little bit. In typical Patriots fashion, you don't take a lot of reps in practice during the week. Your volume is controlled if you play on the weekend. And James White, and to Field's credit, by the way, Field, I was going through roster lineups. Yeah. I'm heavily invested in James White because sure. I especially thought in the start of the season he'd be great. And I was going through these roster decisions. And I was struggling because it was against Jacksonville. Field encouraged me to keep James White in, and he outperformed nearly every matchup that I had. So I still think James White right now, number one. I like that Sony Michel got his feet wet. I think there's more to be yet to be determined.
Yeah, and he was utilized a decent amount between the tackles, which makes me a tad nervous about Rex Burkhead's value in his role going forward. Remember last year, even when Rex Burkhead was playing well at the beginning of the season, and they had Deion Lewis too, like Rex Burkhead had games where he was hardly playing right. on special teams. They value in a lot of ways that go beyond just what a RB2 in fantasy often looks like.
The fear with Rex Burkhead here. So on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, I'm a company man. One of the things we do today is we do a segment called F, Marry, Chill.
Yeah.
The F stands for friend, just to be clear. And so they're asking me to F, Marry, Chill Patriots running backs. And one of the things I said is I actually sort of feel like I want to friend all of them. I don't want to marry any of them because, you know, the Patriots use their running backs in so many different ways. And I know that you can count on any one of them. But you don't want to chill on any of them either because they're all going to have value. What I will say is that I could see it happening. I was encouraged by Sony Michel's usage in a game where he was limited in a game they were behind for much of it against a tough defensive front where he didn't practice all that. I mean, he was limited in practice throughout the week. I was actually encouraged by the amount of work that he got in this particular game in a tough matchup as a rookie. My expectation is that I think we can sort of see this settling in. Last year, Deion Lewis was the rusher you wanted. Burkhead vultured a number of touchdowns, obviously, but Deion Lewis was the between the tackles guy. James White had his passing down role. I think Sony Michel is going to be in the Deion Lewis role this year going forward, and Rex Burkhead is going to be in his role that he was last year, which is using him a little bit in the slot, using him some in the passing game, some in goal line situations, probably like 12 touches, but his fantasy value will come from scoring. The question becomes, do they give him the scoring or Sony Michel?
That we'll find out in future weeks. Too hard to say with this little tape on both players. Chris Hogan finds the end zone twice, just three catches. I don't want to say bailed out by touchdowns because touchdowns are what we chase in fantasy football. But just a reminder, you play the Jaguars, it's going to be very difficult to get the best out of your offensive players. Is Blake Bortles fantasy relevant again, Matthew? Because he went crazy yesterday. 377 yards and four touchdowns.
That was good,
plus
Blake.
Plus 35 rushing yards, yeah.
That was good, Blake.
So last four home starts, Blake Bortles is averaging 320 passing yards per game, 11 touchdowns in those four games against just one interception. He's completing over 69% of his starts. Is there a hashtag home Blake thing going on here?
Perhaps. Yeah.
You know, just a little bit. I think he is absolutely a starter in two QB leagues. I think he is a viable streamer in the right matchup. They are at home next week against the Titans. Tighten up! Give me some Blake Bortles this week as a streamer. I think he is absolutely streamer worthy, partially because he played well. Give the man credit where credit he has played well towards the end of last year. He's played well so far this season. And by the way, Field, he's got some talented wide receivers as well.
Including Keelan Cole, who had a great day yesterday and arguably the catch of the year. Just a tremendous sort of Odell Beckham-like catch. You can find it all over Twitter. My question to you is this. Keelan Cole was great yesterday. D.D. Westbrook was their top pass catcher in week one. Is the reality for Jacksonville that it might be they have seven or eight different players that lead them in total catches or lead them in catches in a game this year to the extent that we can't necessarily say that you have to start one over the rest of them?
Yeah, I think that's the right call. I will still rank them next week. I will rank them Keelan Cole, D.D. Westbrook, Dante Moncrief. That's how I rank them. That's how I rank them coming into the season. That's how I rank them going into the week. That's how I will continue to rank them. D.D. Westbrook's box score certainly looks nice. A lot of it came on one big play, but that's D.D. Westbrook. D.D. Westbrook has that kind of big play ability. Dante Moncrief drives me crazy. He always has. I mean, you know, he's somebody that like 4 for 34 and a touchdown. That's Dante Moncrief.
Yep.
Under 40 yards, but he does get into the end zone. Dante Moncrief drives me crazy. Keelan Cole, I think, is probably the most talented receiver on the team, and I think he starts to emerge even more. But that's how I would rank them, Cole, Westbrook, Moncrief, and I will say, Field, that they will, you know, depending on the matchup and depending on the size of your league, I think they're going to be more bye week fill-ins and roster depth than guys you can count on as every week starters.
And that would naturally segue into me talking about Meundies.
100%, Stefania. When we talk, then before we talk about your underwear, Stefania, one last thing I'll mention here
was
just
people.
With the just the running back here, Cory Grant. I think more involved than people thought he would be. 10 touches here, and we'll see what happens with Leonard Fournette. We're still waiting to see if he can go next week, but it would be a Yeldon and Cory Grant, you know, mixture next week.
Smart
and,
move by the Jags to not play Leonard Fournette yesterday, says me.
Anyway. Says you, who is wearing some MeUndies, maybe, possibly.
That'll be for me to know and you never to find out. But I always thought
Fair.
That MeUndies was that really cool underwear brand with the fun, crazy prints. But it wasn't until I actually tried them on I realized, holy crap, they are seriously the most comfortable thing I've ever worn. They use a micromodal fabric, which is a full 3 times softer than regular cotton. And be honest, I could not believe how soft they were. It's the exact fabric you're going to want to wear. They release multiple fun prints each month in matching socks and bralettes. I have a bralette too, Matthew. You also will not see that, but you could get one for your lovely wife, Beth.
Sure.
You can even get a matching pair that you could wear alongside of Beth. 100%.
That's getting a little weird. Now we're starting to get weird. And this is me saying this. I always like going weird and this is weird.
Good.
It's too weird for
me. I'm not weirded you. 100% satisfaction guarantee. You're going to love these undies, but if you're not into it, just send them back for a full refund. MeUndies just launched a brand new membership. You can level up your top drawer, which is where the undies go, with new undies each month. Members gain access to exclusive prints that no one else can get. They get special member pricing on every product MeUndies makes, and you can switch styles or skip months any month you want. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners for any first-time purchasers. When you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. It's a no-brainer, people. Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you will ever put on. To get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/FFF. That's MeUndies.com/FFF.
Fantasy, you in the 06, don't
I'm Terry Kasem, ZipRecruiter's smartest man of the week. Don't forget, nothing good comes from hustling.
We're back, and a quick reminder to send in your submission to be our smartest fan of the week at ZipRecruiter.com/fan. This week's question.
Who was that, by the way? Who was that just...
He said Terry Kasem.
Terry Kasem. All right, congratulations, Terry. Nice job. Well done there.
If you're going to tailgate with one member of the 06010, who would you choose and why?
Do you think, Field, the question should be changed a little bit here to be who after Matthew would you like to tailgate? Obviously, I'm winning this, so I'm just curious. Maybe second place is a better way to go with this question. If assuming Matthew is busy because he's super popular and everyone wants to tailgate with him, who would you prefer to tailgate with of the remaining members of the 06010? I feel like it's Thirsty Kyle posed up on my screen. Do I want on a poll? Sure, you can throw that on a poll. Absolutely. If I've learned anything about the Twitter polls, it's like they always have my back.
Yeah, you scream tailgate master. You know that, Matthew? Let's get some Fitzmagic because this guy will be fun to tailgate with.
It'll be a first-class tailgate.
You see that outfit in the post-game
Fitzmagic
presser? I want to party with
hilarious.
Fitzmagic.
We're at the point now where Ryan Fitzpatrick is setting all sorts of records, and let's just not overthink it anymore. Is Fitzmagic startable in Week 3 against the Steelers defense that just allowed 6 passing touchdowns to Patrick Mahomes?
Yes.
Okay, and when you say startable, as in, like, do you think you'll have him inside your top 8?
I think I'll have him inside my top 10. I think I'll have him inside my top 10.
Interesting.
I don't disagree.
I agree completely.
First off, he's played really, really well. They've been very aggressive in their play calling, and it's sort of this perfect storm as we talk about with Detroit. We talk about this with on some of these other teams. It is a team that can't run the ball, similar to Detroit. It is a team with bad defense. And some talented pass catchers.
I mean,
when you think about Evans and DeSean Jackson and Chris Godwin and the emerging O.J. Howard, Field Yates, I assume he makes your waiver wire column this week?
No, I mean,
really?
He had 3 catches. Yeah, he had one long catch that he should have been tackled for 10 yards, and he happens to, there's a pick play in basketball where he sprints free. I don't know that three catches in two games is an earth, right? Was it five catches in two games for O.J. Howard?
Yeah, I just think this is an emerging offense. I think he's running a lot more routes. Cameron Brate is just completely disappearing. At some point, you have to sort of trust in the talent. He's somebody that was a first-round NFL draft pick.
No, I agree. Five catches in two games for O.J. Howard. Again, if he gets tackled like he should have by like three players, I don't know they're talking about O.J. Howard at all.
But that's part of his game, by the way. He's a massive human being.
Sure. Yeah.
He is a massive human being. I've sat next to him. I have interviewed O.J. Howard, and I was just like, good God, how are we from the same DNA? How are you and I the same species?
You're not.
Well, is that what it is? Is that the answer? Okay, that makes sense. Suddenly it all comes. I should have asked Princeton. Princeton would know.
You were definitely a gatherer. He would have been a hunter. Like, that's how it would have worked, Matthew.
Back in the day, I agree with you. I definitely would have been a gatherer. O.J. Howard is a massive human being. So, I mean, being hard to tackle, I think is part of the skill set that comes with O.J. Howard. And my expectation is they will involve him more and more. So maybe not in a 10-team league, but I'm more bullish on O.J. Howard going forward than you are, I guess. I'll leave it at that.
All right. How about Peyton Barber, though? Are we concerned about him?
Oh, yeah.
Peyton Barber, who, again, they could throw the ball all day, but I'm not sure they can run the football.
No.
16, what was his final numbers for Peyton Barber? 16 rushes for 22 yards.
Yeah. He's averaging 2.6 yards per carry this year.
Not good.
He's been stinky. He's been bad. He's been, dare I say it, lion-esque, Daniel. Daniel just made a symbol that we
not
can't
kind.
Really show.
That's
okay.
Right.
Yeah, it was just we shouldn't show on the Twitter stream. Yeah, I'm nervous about this. Ronald Jones, another healthy scratch in this game. We should be worried about Peyton Barber because Philip Lindsay's coming on or something like that. Like, there ain't no one. The gig is his. He's just not doing anything with it. And so that is one of the reasons why I'm sort of buying this Fitz magic thing. If you have Jameis Winston on your roster, is a viable strategy picking up Fitz magic and Jameis Winston saying, you know what, I'm just going to ride the Tampa Bay quarterback because it appears that they are going to have to throw a ton. It's a bad secondary and they can't run. And so fantasy-wise, we could see significant numbers field.
We could, yeah. I mean, listen, they are just high octane right now. I mean, they are just like as fun as there is right now. Who's having more fun playing in the NFL than Ryan Fitzpatrick at this moment?
Nobody. And maybe that's part of it. You know, do you ever just wonder? He's like cutting loose. He's like, life's good. I got this gig for at least 4 weeks, maybe longer.
Honestly, I mean, that's the thing, is that their week four game is the Thursday night game, I believe. They're the short week.
The Bucks? The Bucks they play next Monday night, so they have a short week before a Sunday game. So that's the short week that you're thinking.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. That's my confusion.
They then go on a bye week in week five. We'll see whether or not this job stays with Ryan Fitzpatrick. At this point, it's hard for me to imagine that he does not have at least an excellent chance of keeping this job.
100%.
Jay Ajayi Stefania left this game briefly. He did return. What's the latest on his back?
Well, we just heard that he missed time because of his back injury, but the fact that he made it back into the game makes you think it wasn't particularly serious. But I think this is more about the story of Jay Ajayi. I mean, I've been concerned about his ability to hold up across the season for multiple years now, and certainly this isn't changing it.
And with no Darren Sproles, we saw plenty of Corey Clement and a little bit of Wendell Smallwood, but Clement was really the most effective running back for this Eagles backfield. In a deeper league, if this Ajayi injury lingers at all, he's going to be a waiver wire name to consider. We got news this morning from Adam Schefter that Mike Wallace is going to miss the rest of the year because of an ankle injury.
It looked bad.
Now, we also have Alshon Jeffrey sitting out. Nelson Agholor, could it be a top 15 play for right now at wide receiver, Matthew?
Who, Nelson Agholor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was in my top 20 going into this week. Until Alshon Jeffrey comes back, and my expectation is that Carson Wentz starts week three. It's a great matchup at home against the Colts. I know the Colts just, you know, made my Redskins look stupid, but that's the Redskins, whatever. The Eagles are a real football team. And so, even though they lost this game, yeah, I think Agholor is the real deal. 8 catches in both his games this season. It's a little weird because obviously no Alshon, but it's another team that has struggled to run the ball. I'm in on Agholor. I've been all year.
We're gonna save more Carson Wentz analysis for when we have more information. But Adam Schefter did report that it's possible he will be clear to play in week 3. We expect a potential announcement regarding Wentz as soon as Monday. The Texans fall to 0-2.
My question here real quickly, sorry, Field, is what about Alshon Jeffrey, Stefania? Do you expect to see him back in week 3?
I need to see more in practice before
It sounds like we're a little ways away on Alshon Jeffrey. The Texans fall to 0-2. They lose to the Titans. First win for Mike Vrabel as a head coach. Congratulations to him on that. Should we be concerned? If you had Deshaun Watson as your starter, Stefania, despite his 20-plus points yesterday, are you concerned about him and his overall effectiveness?
Yeah, he doesn't look like what we remember from the sample that we got last year just yet. So I just don't think the Texans as a whole look like a team that's completely in sync. And maybe that's from not having him around for a while, but I'm still giving him time. I mean, it's only been 2 weeks. I'm still giving him time. And
yeah,
he is putting up fantasy numbers for you in the meantime. So I think better times are ahead for Deshaun Watson.
Much better yesterday, in part because Will Fuller was back on the field, Stefania. What do we know about his health? And he looked awesome yesterday.
He really did. And I think this reinforces the Texans' decision to keep him out for a week. We talked about being conservative in week one so that you don't have an injury that kind of rolls over into week two.
Hamstring injury,
right?
Right.
Yeah. Especially soft tissue type injuries. And I think the proof in their decision-making being wise was evident yesterday.
Yeah, 8 for 113 in a touchdown. Reminder, in 5 games with Deshaun Watson, Will Fuller has 21 catches for 392 yards and 8 touchdowns. Marcus Mariota did not wind up playing in this game, Stefania. It was the Blaine Gabbert show.
Yeah, another wise move because we were talking about it yesterday. I mean, he still could not feel his grip on the football. So until that comes back 100%, I'd be surprised if he played. Interesting they had him active. Obviously, emergency situation.
Well, I thought you were going to – I didn't realize you were going to talk about the hand. I thought you were just saying a wise move to start Blaine Gabbert over Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
Is there a quarterback controversy in Tennessee? Tighten up.
Yeah, because Kevin Byard deserves to be their starting quarterback. Quickly, I will say this. I play in a league with Keith that's got an IDP component to it. And there is a chance, pending tonight's outcome, that I will lose this game by a margin that is less than the points that Kevin Byard, who is Keith's starting safety, got for throwing a 61-yard touchdown pass.
See?
Not cool, Keith. Nice job. Good scouting by you.
Of course, Keith is apologizing for it this morning. Keith would do that.
They're not accounting for their left hand. I mean, you know, they knew that he had a good arm, but they had no idea it was going to be with the left hand.
Yeah.
First team All-Pro right
heard,
there.
It was impressive.
Moving along here.
The one thing I will say, it's a gutty win for the Titans. You know, their offensive line was just decimated by injuries in this one, and their starting quarterback is out. I don't think Jonnu Smith does absolutely nothing. I ranked him, didn't do anything, although I ranked him when I thought Mariota was still going to play. With the exception of the running backs, and they're like low-end RB2s, flex plays, there's not a Titan that I want to start anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
And that includes Corey Davis.
Yep, I am with you there. Davis had 5 catches for 55 yards yesterday. The Raiders almost won, and then they lost the last second because of a Brandon McManus field goal. The good news is Amari Cooper looked much more like Amari Cooper. Is he back, Matthew?
Yes. John Gruden, after week one, sort of called out his quarterback and said, we got to figure out ways to get Amari Cooper. And we all said, well, he wants to do it, but it's one thing to say, it's another thing to actually get it done on the road at Denver. We expect a lot of Chris Harris on Amari Cooper. And credit to Derek Carr, who heard that criticism and responded with an unbelievable game. 29 of 32, almost 300 yards, a touchdown on the road at Denver. It was an impressive game, and you know, it's disappointing, obviously, for the Raiders that they did not win. Credit Case Keenum and the Broncos for making a comeback there. But Cooper was terrific, and this is what we expect him to be, a target monster, a volume monster. I thought this is what we expected in the preseason. This is why I had him ranked as a top 12 wide receiver.
There's two ways to look at the Broncos running backs that are rookies this year. The one is that Royce Freeman's day was basically salvaged by a touchdown because he played just 15 snaps yesterday. The other side of the coin is that Philip Lindsay has been awesome. Awesome so far this season. He had another game with over 100 yards. Stefania, if you had the choice between one of the two for the rest of the season, are we already at the point that you would consider Philip Lindsay?
I don't know if I'm totally comfortable making that call yet because the sample size is really so ridiculously small, and I still think Royce Freeman has incredible value for this team. And maybe it is the Broncos sort of sorting it out And I feel like they're riding a very hot hand in Philip Lindsay, and it'll be a matter of whether this is able to continue. I will say I picked him up in about three different leagues, started him yesterday because of injuries at other positions, and it paid off for me, so I would not be hesitant to utilize him. But I don't know that we've completely seen how this backfield is going to shake out.
Very interesting.
I would agree with Stefania. Philip Lindsay... Lindsay's the real deal.
Right.
I'm not bailing on Royce Freeman just yet. I thought it was encouraging that he gets the touchdown here. Lindsay obviously had the 53-yard run, which inflated his numbers. But make no mistake, and we talked about this last week, Philip Lindsay, who averaged 310 touches a year when he was at Colorado. I mean, you know, I think people see his size and think, oh, this is going to be a satellite back. This is a scat back. No, he's a running backfield. And they have a nice 1-2 punch here. And so I certainly think that you have to lower expectations for Royce Freeman. Philip Lindsay obviously needs to be rostered in 100% of leagues. But I would agree with Stefania that I don't think we've seen the end of Royce Freeman, or that Philip Lindsay is, pardon the pun, running away with his job. I do think that it is a multifaceted running back by committee here. And I think, again, game flow is a little weird here because the Raiders got up to a fairly big lead. I think it was like 19-3 at some point.
It was 19-10. So I think it might have been just that they couldn't get anything going on the ground, and it was just keep throwing it. Demaryius Thomas left this game briefly yesterday. He did come back. A quiet day at the office for Demaryius Thomas. You don't often see that kind of stat line for him, but you do expect him to be much better in weeks ahead.
Yeah, I wondered if he wasn't feeling well because he had a couple really obvious drops.
Worth noting real quickly that Jake Butt, 4 for 48, 6 targets in this game. There's just, you know, there's a lot of leagues out there where people are tight and needy. And so Jake Butt, the talented second year player, he was highly thought of coming out of college last year, starting to get into the offense. Just interesting to see, a name to keep on your radar for 10 team leagues.
ESPN Radio, breaking news.
The Eagles made official what we hinted at earlier. Carson Wentz has been medically cleared and will start in week 3. We remind you they play against the Indianapolis Colts. Andrew Luck and Carson Wentz face off, I believe, the first time in their young careers. We will keep more analysis throughout the week on this. Obviously a developing story, but we don't want to ignore the fact that Carson Wentz, the almost league MVP last year, is medically cleared. That's a good sign for a Philadelphia offense that did not look so great yesterday. Back on track with the Dolphins and the Jets. The Dolphins win this game. They are now 2-0. But let's start with New York. Is it even a question who the number one pass catcher in this offense is? Because Quincy Enunwa continues to feast.
He's somebody that also needs to be rostered. They were manufacturing touches for him. They were looking for him in a lot of different places. Field, and honestly, could have had a much bigger day. He was wide open in the end zone, and Sam Darnold just overthrew him.
Sure.
Enunwa, who continues to be somebody that the Jets are finding different ways to look for, who kind of controls the middle of the field, very sure hands. He caught one ball where he just took a massive hit, held on to the ball. So Enunwa, I mean, I don't know what more you can say about him. Look, I here's a good stat that Thirsty Kyle found out, though. I want to bring this one up. Here's the entire list of players that saw 10 or more targets in each of their first 2 weeks last year. Antonio Brown, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins. He has seen 10-plus targets in both games this season, 13 for 155 and a score. I certainly think Enunwa over Robbie Anderson for the rest of the year. I think this is completely legitimate.
Very interesting. Kenyon Drake got good work again for the Miami Dolphins, found the end zone, 15 total touches. Frank Gore, congratulations to him, became the NFL's fourth all-time leading rusher.
Heart, Frank Gore, who hasn't missed a game since 2010. Yeah. Just take that in.
An absolute beast for him. That much is for sure. And listen, I said it last week. I thought that unquestionably, Kenny Stills could find room in your lineup every single week. 2 catches for 17 yards. I was wrong right there.
But again, I think maybe we're underrating the Jets' defense a little bit.
No. Just I think when you trust the Dolphins,
that's what happens.
We need to come up with something for that.
Football is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every game all season long. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. By searching multiple ticket sites and grading every ticket based on value, SeatGeek helps you immediately identify the best seats to fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And it doesn't end with sports. SeatGeek has plenty of tickets to concerts, comedy, and theater, too. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code FFF today. That's promo code FFF for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. Last couple of games here, last few games, which is to say, Sunday Night Football, the Cowboys win this game. It was ugly, ugly, ugly. For the Giants, it was particularly ugly. Other than Saquon Barkley and Evan Ingram, and Odell Beckham Jr., who are you starting? That's still three guys. I guess the question will be this, Matthew. It's not so much about whether you're starting those guys, but are you nervous about the rushing production for Saquon Barkley after 11 carries for 28 yards?
No, I'm not. I mean, the Cowboys have an underrated defense. The offensive line really struggled last night for New York. I mean, they just got beat up. But Barkley, because the volume of touches and because of his usage in the passing game, will continue to be RB1. So, no, I have no concerns. For our purposes, for fantasy football purposes, Saquon Barkley is a rock star.
It's just ugly. At 14 catches for 80 yards. But Eli Manning, I think the question that's going to percolate throughout New York for probably the entire season, and maybe it's already been percolating for the past 5 months, is did this team make the right call in drafting a running back over a quarterback? Because it is desperate out there in terms of quarterback play. Eli Manning looked brutal again last night. Part of the offensive line.
In fairness to Eli, like, he had no time to throw at any one given point. Honestly, I think that's going to be a storyline for as long as Sam Darnold's in the NFL.
For the Cowboys, there is one player you can trust to start. His name? Ezekiel Elliott. 17 rushes for 78 yards and a touchdown last night. He had the rare 5 catches for 9 yards last night. 5 for 9 from Zeke Elliott. But still, if you play in PPR scoring, you're like, I'll take 5.9 points in the passing game. Zeke Elliott was one of the consensus top 4 running backs coming into this season. One of the other ones was David Johnson. We're going to talk about this more throughout the week. But David Johnson yesterday had 1 catch for 3 yards, 6.1 fantasy points. I feel bad. I do not feel as though David Johnson has regressed in any way as a player.
No.
But this offensive system feels like it's designed to fail.
I think my tweet from yesterday was, do they know what he can do? Or they know what he can do, right? Like, you see this guy every day. You know his talent. Why was he not targeted in the passing game? I obviously invested heavily in David Johnson where I could in fantasy leagues. I didn't always have a pick that allowed me to get him. I felt like he was the number one pick overall. I know you guys had concerns about the offense. I had concerns, but I thought for Sam Bradford, he'd be a great outlet in the short passing game. I misjudged how they would utilize their top players in both David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald.
You know, the problem with what's happened so far, there are many of them, but you look at this and you say, all right, they have been down throughout the season. They've been basically trailing for 2 full games. All right. Game script says when you're down big, you throw the football. You throw the football to a talented player. Other than Larry Fitzgerald, they have none in terms of established pass catchers besides David Johnson.
Right.
I'm nervous about this. I am not telling you to not use David Johnson in your backfield next week. All I am saying is that if you drafted a pick, you might be a bit regretful about taking David Johnson with one of those picks.
I'm super nervous about the what fueled his 2016 was the pass catching and the touchdowns. And you don't have any confidence that either are coming back. They're not using him in the passing game, and obviously you don't see this offense scoring a ton of points. He's actually touching the ball less as well. So this makes me nervous. I mean,
makes me nervous as well. Yeah.
Chase Edmonds had more targets in the passing game than David Johnson did yesterday.
The other side of the running back coin is Todd Gurley.
Before we go there real quickly, we should do a name. Do you want to? We can wait on this.
Yeah, we don't have time.
We got to move on.
A lot of time throughout the week to get the David
Just
Johnson.
One quick note, though. Larry Fitzgerald with a hamstring injury went out in the third quarter. Not believed to be serious, but keep an eye on it. Rarely injured Larry Fitzgerald.
Todd Gurley, the other side of the equation here. He left his game with cramping, but at that point, they didn't even need to bring him back. 3 touchdowns for Todd Gurley. We asked going into this week, could the Rams sustain 3 pass catchers?
Yep.
The answer is yes. Brandon Cooks was the star yesterday. 7 catches for 159 yards. This team looks every bit as good as advertised through the first 2 weeks of the season.
Hey, Field, you know, Stefania was just talking about how the fact that she had David Johnson number one overall, and she probably wants that one back.
Yeah.
I think if there was one preseason call that I could have back, it's that I was down on Brandon Cooks, that I didn't think Brandon Cooks
There's
would be.
There's one that makes up for my, well, not quite my David Johnson call, but I did but, like him.
Well, whatever. I mean, like, everyone had David Johnson in the top four. I mean, right. It doesn't matter. I mean, like, everyone had him as a top four play. That's, I mean, and most had him as a top three. So I don't know that you can take, we were all wrong on David Johnson. Brandon Cooks would be my call. If I could have one call back from the preseason, it'd be Brandon Cooks, where I was just like, I think he's a talented player. I think he'll have some big games, but I just don't know that you can count on him for consistent fantasy production. I think I was wrong there, Field.
LeSean McCoy, is he in the same category as David Johnson, about a stud running back that you're nervous about, who also is dealing with an injury now, Stefania?
Especially now. I left with a rib injury. Obviously, don't know the detail on it yet, but certainly when he took it, he did not look good. I mean, he looked like he was in great pain, and that's not something that's going to clear up by this week for sure.
The Bills have just one player that you can utilize in fantasy football, Vontae Davis. LeSean McCoy. And I'm not sure you can even use LeSean McCoy. Sorry.
Too soon.
Vontae Davis did retire at halftime of yesterday's game. I'm not sure you can even utilize LeSean McCoy. The good news is he went over 10 fantasy points because he had 4 catches for 29 yards. But, man, it's going to be a long year in Buffalo. Last team here, the Chargers, they were awesome. Melvin Gordon had 3 touchdowns yesterday. But a reminder that Austin Ekeler needs to be rostered in all leagues. He had 14 total touches for 98 yards, 3 catches. The guy's a really talented player, and Melvin Gordon did leave this game late. Again, I get the same sense of the Todd Gurley and the Melvin and the Larry Fitzgerald. If this was a close game, you might put him back in. But he did leave the game late, Stefania.
He did. I mean, just looked a little uncomfortable walking off. No real specifics yet. But when you touch the ball that many times, your exposure risk goes up. So I think knowing that they have Austin Ekeler, you may see him utilized even a little bit more.
And Mike Williams had 2 catches for 27 yards and a touchdown. Continue to keep an eye on him as this offense cooks all season. All right. So anything else from...
I was going to say, I don't know that there's anything else to talk about. The one thing that I thought was really encouraging is the amount of targets that Melvin Gordon's getting in the passing game.
Agree on that. So back tomorrow, we have plenty of stuff to get into. We've got Monday Night Football game. We've got waiver wire stuff. We've got Mike Clay here. We'll begin today, not talk about them, but we'll begin our rankings process as well. Keep an eye out on the waiver wire column, and Matthew Berry's fantasy show will be available later on today on ESPN Plus. You can see what him and all of his cast of very intelligent and funny and creative people come up with for today's show.
And Daniel.
And Daniel
hey,
as
come
well.
On now.
And Daniel, in the meantime, StefaniaB87 on Instagram and Stefania_ESPN on Twitter. He's at Matthew Berry TMR everywhere except for the Fantasy Life app. He's just at Matthew Berry. My name is Field Yates. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry TMR.
You guys go ahead. Give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dodd.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fantasy advice.
You're older than people realize.
That never stops.
Loyal 06010 listeners.
Geico presents, not again, another voicemail from your roommate.
Hey, man, so I was in a rush to get to work and I left the back door open. Could you shut it? I left it wide open. While you're there, could you also turn off the oven? And all of the burners. My mom never let me use the oven. I wonder why.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if it's your roommate's first time operating an oven. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.